JP reads for you. Today, Die Glocke by Kelsey Bowman. Die Glocke is German for the bell and is the story of the Nazi bell experiments. Come with us on a journey through time. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, you are. And let me just take some of these off so that I don't have to strain my bandwidth here. And then let me put these on so I don't have to strain my eyes. And then that's great. Good morning. This is probably only going to be a short one because last night's one was very long and... You never know. So, I may just finish this abruptly. What am I looking for? Let's just get my time. There we go. Okie dokie. Okay. There we go. Let's take the mic up now. Okay. Chapter 8. The Truth. Seeger finds himself standing in the exact position he was in 24 hours earlier. Standing on the stone stairs of Castle Katz. The sun rising over the treetops. His body and mind exhausted. Seeger turns from his view and enters the front doorway. He finds the place asleep. No sounds, he walks to a small library, in which he finds a familiar chair. He sits back, closes his eyes, and drifts into a deep sleep. Seeger finds himself dreaming, and in this dream, he's sitting on a fallen tree trunk, lying alongside a clear blue running brook. The sound of the running water is soothing, the color an intense bluish green. He looks up towards the sky and notices cirrus clouds slowly drifting by. He can feel the heat of the bright sun shining on his face. Seeger, a distant voice calls. He stands to his feet, looking all around. The voice again calls his name. Seeger notices a woman standing on the other side of the brook. It's Mrs. Goethe, the Vril medium. What's she doing here? He asks himself. Seeger calls back. Mrs. Goethe! The figure stands there shouting back, but Seeger can no longer hear her. Mrs. Goethe, he calls out. I can't hear you! She motions with a wave of her hand for him to cross the brook. Seeger looks down to see a fine pair of brown leather shoes and black argyle socks. The thought of crossing the brook and getting his fine shoes and socks wet does not appeal to him, but an overwhelming curiosity compels him to cross. He must get to her. Seeger begins to take his first step into the cold waters. Colonel, a young guard, lightly shaking him by the shoulder. Colonel Seeger! General Kamler is on the radio and wishes to speak with you directly. Seeger, now truly exhausted and confused, still not sure if he's dreaming or not, leans forward, rubbing his eyes. What did you say, Private? General Kamler is on the secure radio channel for you, sir. Yes, I'll be right there. The young boyish private salutes, turns, and exits the room. My God, I'm tired, said Seeger out loud. He rises from his chair and stretches quickly. Slowly, he leaves the second-floor study and makes the three flights of stairs to the communication room. He arrives fairly awake from the work involved in the climb to his destination. His step on the wooden floor creaks. A few more and Seeger comes across the doorway. Him and Helga release their stresses upon one another. He smiles and continues to the radio room. Okay, privates, you can leave. Yes, sir, they both reply. Seeger sits down and sees a coffee pot just in front of him and to the right.
Fantastic.
He grabs a paper cup, fills it to the brim and sips. Ah, that's good, Java. Padding on his SS jacket, he finds his smokes and quickly lights one. Okay, I guess I got to do this. He puts the clumsy headset over his ears and pulls the mouthpiece to a comfortable position. General, this is Colonel Seeger. Over. My old friend, how are things going with the cleanup? Good, sir. We're pretty much well done. The bell was completely destroyed. Lost all the red mercury and the henge severally damaged. Seeger, come back to Berlin. You will need to brief the SS High Command. Give us an idea of time set back to the Deglock project. Yes, sir. Catch a train to Berlin, 6 p.m. tonight. Understood? Yes, sir. See you tomorrow morning. Over and out. Seeger removes the headset and gulps the last of his coffee. No time to rest. What he needs to do is shower, shave, put on a clean uniform, and then he might be able to organize his team. Especially after the horrible events of last night. Alfred, he was a good kid. His team will not take his loss well. Alfred was well liked and a needed asset to the Bell Project. Just far too young to die. Another casualty of war. Alfred's loss begins to unwind Seeger's mind. Something from the past trying to get out. He stands in front of a mirror, face cleanly shaven, hair combed. This overwhelming feeling of loss staring back at him. He forces himself to dress in his blackest SS uniform. Red Nazi emblems blaze out from the mid-arm position on his jacket. Seeger peers into his reflection in the bedroom window. He does not like what he sees. Dark and lean is the figure that stares back. Has the sickness that fell over Germany doomed them all? Is Alfred the first of them to meet his fate here in the Owl Mountains? Seeger, filled with doubt, mopes downstairs to the main dining area. Here he finds Helga, Otto, and Zurich. Surprisingly, they all look well rested. Quiet, but in better condition than he himself was. Colonel, how did things go last night? The cleanup is done. The damage assessment, a different story. Anyways, let's talk about it in a while. I just want to sit and have some breakfast with my friend, Zurich.
That sounds good, sir.
Colonel, I have some tea for you, Helga calls out. Good morning, Helga. How are you holding it together?
Better than I thought I was going to be.
I know, Helga. I'm pretty depressed about the whole ordeal, as I imagine we all are.
We'll get through this, Colonel. We can do it together. Gently touching his forearm with her hand. A touch soothing to Seeger.
Thanks, Helga.
For what?
Just for supporting us all.
You're my family now. What else would I do?
Colonel, what were the casualties from last night?
18 dead, 6 critically injured, not expected to make it, 7 with some kind of shell shock scenario. The Bell and all her components destroyed, the last 6 months of work for nothing.
Not for nothing, sir. We know what to do, how to build it.
That's true, Helga. What about Alfred's body, Rudolf? I made sure he was taken care of, Helga. His remains are going back to Berlin tonight, as we are.
Why, Colonel?
A staff meeting with SS High Command about the Bell Project and what our next steps will be.
When do we leave, Colonel?
6 p.m. tonight. It'll be good to escape from this place for a few days. I'd like that too, Rudolph. Sirik and Otto, you guys take the next few days off. Relax and rejuvenate. The two quietly respond, "Yes, sir." Siga knows that only time will heal the wounds of loss. Then, sometimes even that doesn't work. "Hey guys, when things calm down, we'll have a memorial amongst us for our fallen comrades. I'll write a letter to Alfred's family and make sure he gets to his family's resting place." Zurich and Otto fight back the tears. That would be good, sir. "Go back to bed and get some more sleep. Things will seem better with each passing day." The two young gentlemen slump away, dazed, confused, and scared. They do find comfort behind their bedroom doors, the curtain closed and covers drawn over their heads. Sorrow is their companions, as they sob themselves to sleep. Helga and Siga remain in the dining room. They just sit there quiet. He reaches over and grabs her hand, gently squeezing it. The minutes pass in silence. Helga rises from the chair at the end of the table and steps towards Siga. He pushes his chair from the table and angles it to meet her. She sits softly into the colonel's lap. Her arms wrap around his neck. Helga buries her face into the colonel's shoulder and breaks. Her body shaking and light whines expelled from her slender frame. Siga holds her tight. "Everything's going to be okay, Helga. Shh. He holds her in this manner for some time, until the young beauty gained her composure. "Thanks, Rodolph. Helga, are you okay? Will you be okay?" "Yes, my dear. Just stay close to me today." "Absolutely. I will not let you leave my sight." "That's already making me feel better. You must be exhausted, Rudolph." "My God, Helga, like I'm walking through a fog." She gets up, takes Ziga by the hand, and leads him to a quiet second-floor study. The fall sun warming and gently lighting the small coved area. They both recline onto a burgundy sofa. Helga cradles into his right arm, pulls her legs into a fetal position, and they drift off into a deep, comfortable sleep. It is not for hours that Siga wakes to the sight of Helga's blonde hair shining in the late afternoon sun. "Helga, we overslept." "Rudolph." She raises her wrist and with a slight turn. "It's okay, we still have 2 hours to make the train to Berlin." "What, it's already 4 o'clock? "Yes." They rise to their feet and aid each other to get ready. They rise to their feet and aid each other to get ready. Before they know it, they're boarding the train for Berlin, once again finding themselves in a nice personal coach. Siga begins to tell Helga of the dream he had earlier that day. How real it was. "Rudolph, maybe it wasn't just a dream." "What do you mean, Helga?" "Mrs. Goethe is a psychic medium. If she's capable of truly communicating with an alien race, who knows what she's capable of? You telling me she's a witch? Heavens no. Maybe she's communicating with you. You should meet with her, Rudolph." "Ah, that's right, your family in the drill." "That's my family, Rudolph, not me, and I know what you mean. As a matter of fact, I've arranged for you to stay at the Velen Villa while we're in Berlin." "Oh, Helga, I couldn't possibly impose." "Nonsense, Rudolph, you could never impose." "Okay then, I'll do it." "So you can arrange for me to meet with Mrs. Goethe, Helga?" "It would be my pleasure, Rudolph." The ride continues on. They talk of the possibilities of the universe, the paranormal, and the Vril Society. She tells Siga of her childhood in Canada, the massive oceans of land they call the prairies.
He listens to her voice for hours. To Rudolf, the hours pass like minutes. The darkness of Castle Kazatz falls away with each passing mile. They both feel it. The sorrow of the previous night's events slip to the recesses of their mind. Laughter and anticipation of their stay in Berlin springs hope into Helga and Sigurd's thoughts. Soon the station's whistle blows and their arrival in Berlin is heard over the loudspeakers. The hustle and bustle of onboarding, the car ride from the station to the Velen Villa in the Upper East Side, took several hours. It wasn't till midnight that they arrived at Helga's family estate. They are greeted by a mass of her family, grandparents, parents, uncles, aunts.
Helga, it's so good to see you. Ah, oh, thanks, Mother.
You remember Colonel Seeger?
Why, yes, of course. How are you, Colonel?
Fine, Mrs. Vellum. Good to see you again. Mum, he wants to meet with Mrs. Goethe.
Oh, fantastic. It's much too late tonight, but I can arrange it for tomorrow evening. We'll invite her for dinner and a social evening with all of us.
Oh, thanks, Mama. Yes, thanks, Mrs. Vellum, Seeger responds. No problem, you two. How are things in the Owl Mountains these days?
Fine, Mother.
Helga looks over and sees Seeger being whisked away by older gentlemen of her distinguished family to the main social room.
My God, Mother, they're going to accost him. Yes, war stories, no doubt. Remember when you returned from Canada, how they did the same with you? It took me months to get to know you again. I should have held my guns and said no when your father sent away that Canadian boarding school. So many years lost. You were like a stranger, a different person.
My God, Mum, they will interrogate him. Mother's attention is quickly diverted from those uncomfortable memories of her return from Canada.
Talking about an interrogation, Helga, I see your eyes. And when you gaze, and his when you gaze at one another. You can't hide it, my dear. The truth, Helga.
As they walk down the hallway to the staff kitchen, where they spent many times talking as a young girl and a mother, Helga's memory and schoolgirl enthusiasm fill her heart.
Well, girl, like I said, the truth.
I think I love him, Mother, but...
But what, Helga?
I know you, my love, and doubt is not your strong suit.
What's up?
I don't know if he loves me. He's not over the tragedy of losing his family. He seems not to accept the truth.
I know, Helga. Some of the SS High Command has been filling me in on about your colonel.
What do you mean, filling you in?
Nothing bad, my dear. He's a well-respected member of the SS. You know, respect with the SS comes through brutality. His mind and the mass destruction that he may offer to the Reich, that's the true danger.
He's forced, Mother, just as I am, to do what's ordered of me.
I know. Maybe we can help Rudolf come to terms with the death of his family.
I would like that, Mum.
Other than that... Other? Okay, then that's what we'll do.
I think Anna may be able to aid us.
Anna?
Mrs. Goethe, the Vril medium.
Ah, yes, Anna Goethe. I forgot her first name. Anyway, she has taken a great interest in Seeger.
What of her foremother?
The whole alien thing. This Anquil she communicates with has apparently asked a lot of questions.
What type of questions does the SS know, Mother?
Maybe not everything. Mother, don't play games with these people. They'll destroy everything we are.
And you, dear, what about your games?
A game? I do what I'm ordered.
Ordered by who, Helga?
Mother, let's not get into this now. Tell me more about Mrs. Goethe and these secret medium sessions.
I think Anquil has figured out the Reich may be building weapons of mass destruction. Some kind of connection made between Seeger's mind and the alien conscience on their last encounter.
Oh, yeah, the first night we met.
That's right, my dear.
What type of interest?
His past, present, future.
Future? What do you mean, future?
Helga, you would not believe me if I told you. Beside, that is not for me to tell you. I'll let Anna tell you and Sigurd tomorrow night. Come on, Mum, you can't leave me hanging like that. All I can say is that I think you and Rudolf will have a long life together. What does that mean? Helga, you always had so many questions. Let's talk of other things and wait for tomorrow night's events to unfold. Soon Helga and her mother are laughing, remembering, and enjoying their time with one another. The hours pass and Helga's thoughts turn to Rudolf. I wonder what the men are doing.
Drunk, no doubt.
Of course, Mother. Let's go and find them, retire for the night. They rise from the table. Without ever hesitating, looking where anywhere other than each other, find the main social room and enter a jovial scene. All laughing, singing, and drinking. Ah, Helga, they love him. Yes, that they do. Sieger looks over and see Helga staring back. All the old gentlemen are gathered around a large grand piano, playing and singing. Sieger and Helga meet in the middle of the large room.
What have I been missing, Rudolf? Your family is a hoot.
Yeah, tell me all about it. They can be a little embarrassing, too.
I'm surprised, to be honest. I'm taken aback, and they're definitely not what I expected.
I hope that's a good thing, Rudolf.
Absolutely.
She grabs him by the hand and leads him to the crowd gathered around the piano. They socialize till at least 4 a.m. The two guests are shown their rooms and both fall asleep instantly. 7:30 came fast. Sieger and Helga meet in the hallway on the way to the bath. Both are still in a fog. They bump into one another.
Sorry, dear.
It's okay, Rudolf.
What a night.
Fun, eh? Now I'm exhausted. A shower and a good breakfast will help.
A shower. Now, where can I find one of those?
There's one down this hallway at the end. I'll use the one on the main floor. She leaves him with a kiss on the cheek. I'll see you downstairs in 30 minutes.
Okay.
Sieger stumbles to the bath, turns on the water and lets it run for several minutes. A thick fog of hot, moist air is created. He reclines in the tub, laying back and closing his eyes, letting the hot water flow and spray his face and body. Sieger almost falls back asleep in the peaceful, isolated atmosphere. Only the thought of the upcoming meeting with the SS High Command forces him to his feet. He washes, shaves, and brushes his teeth, returns to his room and finds his best pressed uniform. As usual, Sieger makes sure he looks impeccable. Fresh cologne fills the air. He checks his appearance in a large dressing mirror. He's pleased with the cut of his jib. He makes the way to the villa's kitchen to be greeted by Helga and a mass of her family. They enjoy a fantastic meal and a good, strong coffee. Helga joins Sieger in the front yard while he has his morning cigarette.
Rudolf, are you ready for the SS High Command?
No. She joins in, laughing. Just kidding. As ready as I'll ever be. What about you?
It'll only last a few hours at the worst. Then we'll have the rest of the day for ourselves.
That's a good attitude. Works for me. What time will the car arrive?
Just then, a military limousine turns the corner.
Speak of the devil, Rudolf. I'll run in and get your briefcase. You stall the driver.
On it.
Sieger walks to the approaching car, taking the last few drags of his smoke, flinging it into the street, greets the driver with the authority of his rank. Wait, is all he says. Minutes later, he views Helga's perfect hourglass figure emerging from the large double white front doors. He savours the sight, and her smell fills the cab of the car. By the time they arrive at the SS security office in downtown Berlin, Sieger is rejuvenated, filled with excitement even, though the dogs of war bite at all their heels. Sieger thinks to himself as they enter Kammler's office.
This is the most uncomfortable office in the world, and I'm here again. Little does he know, Helga's thinking the same thing. Standing around the central oak table are the distinguished figures of Project Rees, General Sporenberg and Hans Kammler. "Excuse me, Miss Vellum. We will not require your presence, please. Wait outside." "Yes, sir." She turns quickly and exits the room. She doesn't ask why. She's relieved those other guys freak her out. Helga takes a seat and waits patiently outside the large entrance oak doors. The minutes pass like hours. She fights sleep. Inside, Seeger deals with the panic decisions of his superiors. "Sir, I understand, sir." "Okay, Seeger, take a few days and enjoy the town, then get back to Castle Kzatz. Our second model of the bell will be delivered to your Rees complex in several weeks' time. You could pick up with this unit where you left off." "Yes, General Kammler." "Dismissed." Seeger salutes, clicks his heels, and turns to exit the massive office area. As his steps echo throughout the great room, the thoughts of everything discussed over the last 3 hours pound through his head. The large oak doors swing open and Helga is jarred from her near state of sleep. She shoots up from her sitting position. "Sir, all done?" "Yes, now let's get out of here."
"Absolutely, sir."
As they walk down the great hallways, Seeger begins to fill Helga in on the details of his meeting. They exit the security building and jog down the front stairs to the street below. They stand at the base, staring at one another. "Hey, Helga, how about we blow off the driver and take the rail car?" "I would like that, Rudolf." "Okay, then." Seeger waves off the driver. They turn and begin to walk towards the rail car station. "So, Rudolf, you were saying about Sporenberg."
"Yeah. We're going to see a lot more of him and his security team."
"Why?" "They're paranoid. They think there might be spies or information leaks within our science team."
"Why?"
"The events of the other night. The SS thinks it's too much of a coincidence, that someone must have told the Allies secret locations and whatnot."
"Do you think that's possible, Rudolf?"
"Anything's possible, Helga."
"My God, now I'm paranoid, Rudolf."
"Helga, it's best to remain distant or as distant as possible. Remember, act like a fly on the wall. Observe, don't get involved."
"I'm already involved, Rudolf."
"I know. Just watch what you say and who you say it to. Don't even discuss our project with your family. It's not only for your safety, but your family's as well."
"I understand, Rudolf. Is that why they didn't want me in the meeting?"
"Yes, they're trying to eliminate all possibilities of leaks."
"Not a slight against you, my dear, just proof the Reich is desperate. They know they can't fail. They'll make sure of it. I'm not even supposed to be telling you any of this."
"You don't have to, Rudolf, I understand."
"No, Helga, I want to. You're part of this team and deserve to know."
"The funny thing, Helga, is they're keeping secrets from us all. If we do not stick together, well, let's say our survival may depend on it."
"What secrets, Rudolf?"
As they enter the station and board the car heading for the Upper East Side, Seeger continues to explain. They find their seats in the crowded car. Seeger says with anxiety in his voice, "They built a second bell, Helga. Unbeknownst to anyone on our team, they used all our information as we were developing it."
"How did they do it?"
"They're watching every move we make."
"We were right to be so paranoid."
"Where did they build the second prototype?"
"Ragnar's Forge in Sweden."
"The secret submarine base?"
"Yes.
I thought that was just a rumor."
"Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, my dear. Anyways, that's not the real disturbing info they relayed to me."
"What do you mean?"
"That crazy Dr. Warner Eckert, he's developing a weapon, all right. Something new beyond atomic into the subatomic. He's been doing live subject testing right under our noses.
The power of red mercury is beyond all our imaginations.
What is it?
Helga, it'll only give you nightmares. But no nation should possess this power on... No nation should possess this power or knowledge. Things will be intense when we return to Owl Mountain. As if they weren't tense enough already with Sporenberg and Ecker also moving into the castle grounds, our clique will be upset. Working conditions will turn stressful. I'm not looking forward to the next 6 to 12 months, Helga. Rudolph will get through it. Folding her arms into Seeger's and nestling her head on his shoulder. Even though Seeger is comforted by this angel clinging tight to him, the thoughts of the uncertain times approaching fill his very essence with fear. Helga, let's try to forget about it for a few days. Yes, lots of things to do. Remember, tonight we meet with Madame Goethe.
That's right. What time?
Dinner starts at 6 p.m, so 7:30-ish. She should be ready to spend time with us. A medium session. Why not? Seems my family has one whenever they feel like it.
What do you mean?
I found out last night my mother and Anna have formed quite a little relationship. They've been having sessions without the SS attending.
For how long?
I think the last 3 months.
Helga, does your mother realize how dangerous that could be?
I've warned her, but my mother will do what she wants to do.
Mothers, eh?
I have not told you my command about our plans, nor will I. So,
I don't get it.
Mothers, hey, I have not told my command about our plans, nor will I. So, tell me, Helga, what were the sessions about?
The bell and you.
Me? What about me? She only got as far as saying the aliens are getting suspicious about intentions and would not elaborate on the facts concerning you. All she said was that you and I would have a long, long life together.
Mothers, hey, Helga?
Tell me about it, Rudolph.
She just had to throw that in there.
I do think that you do have to meet with Mrs. Goethe. So do I. I want to find out what they know. With all the secrets among the SS command, I think it would be beneficial for us to find out, Helga. I think it will be beneficial for us to find out, Helga.
I agree, Rudolph.
They start to let go of the anxiety the morning meeting brought about. The train near empty by this point in the trip. Helga and Rudolph's conversation turns to the upcoming evening. They're only a few blocks away from Helga's parents' home when the view out the train window turns from brick structures and immaculately kept homes to a bombed, devastated neighborhood.
My God, Rudolph, look.
The bombs are starting to fall on Berlin herself.
This is only blocks away from my home.
A look of dismay remains on her face for the minutes it takes to pass the scene. Helga, maybe we should talk to your parents about getting out of Berlin. The bombing is only going to get worse. I fear, Rudolph, we're going to lose this war. We've already lost, Helga. The Reich just hasn't realized it yet. I give it a year at the most, unless we can deliver a weapon of such mass destruction, the Allies bow down to the Führer in fear. We now play with forces of nature that we really know nothing about. I fear we will destroy the world. Rudolph, have you ever thought of just running away from it all? They would hunt me down and kill me, my dear.
Who would?
The SS. I fear my life will end in those mountains, Helga.
No, don't say that, Rudolph.
You should run away, Helga. And leave all you guys? No, I couldn't do that, as I'm as obligated as you are, Rudolph. You die there, I die there. That's the fighting spirit. Okay, there will be no more mention of it. The rest of the day passed quickly. Time spent wondering about the city and villa, talking of events to come. They calmed each other. When they were together, both felt at peace, and a natural ease filled the air. Before the two knew it, the evening had arrived. Dinner was served, family and the honored Vril medium Anna Goethe gathered in the great room. Mrs. Goethe immediately drew attention to Seeger,
Good evening, Colonel. I knew you would come.
Seeger responds with a queer look. The old lady stands up.
I'm sorry, everyone, but this session will be private. Only the Colonel and I.
The small group of family look confused, almost stunned. They do as they are told. None want to offend the Vrills. The old woman approaches the Colonel.
Please come with me, my young handsome man.
The Colonel gives consent with a boyish smile. He is led to the same small study where he first comforted the old frail lady. They sit in two adjacent chairs facing one another, but at a slight angle.
Colonel, I need to show you something. Will you allow me to do this? But you must have an open mind, as I know you do, Rudolph.
Seeger trusts her, so he agrees. She asks him to lie back on the sofa and relax. The Colonel complies and does so.
Colonel Anquil needs to communicate with you.
I'm no medium, Mum.
I'll guide you, Rudolph. Besides, you don't remember the river?
Seeger remembers his dream he had had just a day earlier. He now has more questions than answers. Nervousness fills his body.
Relax, Colonel. There's nothing to be afraid of. This will work or it won't. Are you ready?
The Colonel decides to plunge further into the madness. He closes his eyes and takes a deep, relaxing breath and listens to the old woman's voice. Her voice takes him back to his childhood. He lets go of everything. The war, his family, everything gone. The Colonel no longer hears Mrs. Goethe's voice. A floating sensation overcomes Seeger. The darkness of his eyelids changes to a fast-changing array of colors, forming an endless tunnel. Seeger feels himself falling faster and faster. Panic sets in. He never experienced this sensation before. The conscious part of Seeger tries to wake up, but he cannot. It is then he crashes through some imaginary barrier and enters into a dark void. He's not there in body, but in mind and spirit. The darkness gives way to a vision. Two slender figures begin to emerge from the void. They are not human, but humanoid. Small, only 3 to 3.5 feet in height, and frail, large black eyes and slits for mouth. No nose, instead two tiny orifices. Seeger's mind is amazed that he's seeing this. One alien was grey in the colour, the other red, identical in appearance except for this outer colour. This is where the similarity ended. The Colonel's thoughts are filled with the voice calling out his name.
Anquil,
Seeger's mind calls out.
Yes, Rudolph, it's me.
Your understanding of time and space make it impossible for you to comprehend my plane of existence. Watch and learn, Colonel. The two aliens separate, and in between them a three-dimensional image of a fantastic planet materializes. The grey stands on one side of the planet and the red stands on the other side. They gaze upon this precious marble. As Seeger peers upon this world, the microscopic expands and he's brought into images of a war. A war between the two alien races raged on for 200 years. The hatred of the two sides began to destroy their world. They developed technologies at such a rate that winning the conflict was futile from both sides. Both sides stumble upon the Vrill weapon and energies simultaneously. The Greys and the Reds decide not to use this energy to bring peace, but attempt to destroy one another. Seeger recognizes the technology. It's a type of torsion vortex drive. Different than his bell, but definitely a rotating field device. Rudolph is dragged from this close-up living view of the intense combat and once again views the planet from an orbiting view. Suddenly, a blinding light flashes across the planet's surface. The light is soon consumed by a black hole appearing at the planet's center. Seeger recognizes it. A singularity has been formed. The planet collapses into the abyss, dragging and twisting the gray and red aliens along with it. The vision gone, and the Colonel's mind left once again in the darkness of this void. Anguil! Anguil! The Colonel's mind screams out. No reply ever comes. In a flash, Seeger wakes up, shooting from the surface of the sofa. It's okay, Rudolph. Calm down. Deep breaths. In and out. That's it. That's it. My God, then. I can't believe that what I just experienced. Slow down, Rudolph. Take your time. We have all night to talk. He explains the images that played out in his mind's eye, and Mrs. Goethe interprets. Hours later, Seeger emerges from the small library. No, I'll try again. Hours later, Seeger emerges from the small library, exhausted. He is met by his lover's smile. Rudolph, are you okay? Yes, just wiped, Helga. Come with me, I'll get you to bed. They walk side by side down the hallway to a guest bedroom. Here they lie down, wrapped in each other's arms, talking about the day and night's events. Helga, I never told you about my wife and child. Helga is shocked by these words. Her heart pounds fast with the anticipation of what words were to follow. I lost them a little over a year ago to an Allied air raid in Austria. I'm so sorry, Rudolph. She caresses him harder, snuggling her face into his neck. After I lost them, I was so depressed. I tried ways to join them. I ran into battle, hoping for death to take me, but it never did. For a long time, I asked why, and I finally realized it wasn't my choice. I was powerless to the world around me. I was like a leaf in the wind being blown wherever these universal powers chose to. I remember burying them. First, my son. They lowered his casket, and I covered it myself. Every shovel full of the earth, breaking my heart even more than the last. When I was done, I stepped to the grave next to my son. I knelt down and kissed my wife's coffin and told her I put our boy to bed and that I'd join her soon. My wife and child aren't dead to me. They're just sleeping, waiting for me to wake up to them. And I feel if I love someone else, that I'll close that door. Tears slowly roll down Seeger's razor cheekbones. It's okay, baby, the blonde beauty says as she wipes the stream of tears away. I don't know if I'll ever stop loving them. You don't have to, Rudolph. Tell me about them. I want to know the ones that love you. He's surprised but relieved by her comments. He lets go once again, talking of the people that were his life. It seemed to be ages since he remembered them without sorrow filling his heart. They talk for hours before falling asleep, comforted by the truth revealed.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.